93. Tariana. She clung to Marcus with a death grip as they rode at what felt like reckless speed down the road, the horse's hooves leaving a cloud of dust in their wake. Her neck stung from where Hostess had cut her, but that was the least of her concerns. Marcus said nothing, and neither did the tiny old man who galloped next to him, their escort riding ahead and behind. The young boys couldn't have been more than 13, though, judging from the number stamped on their armor, they'd already graduated. Children, and yet for all they were skinny and speckled with pimples, half of them probably still devoid of facial hair, she knew they were dangerous. Trained killers, even if they'd yet to take a life. They rode for close to an hour, and then in the distance, a massive fortress loomed out of the countryside, the ground for miles around it nothing more than churned up dirt. Hundreds, possibly thousands of children stood in neat lines in the field, men on horses watching from the rear. She heard the familiar whistles and horns, the boys changing position, following the orders of their commanders as they played at war. Yet, as her group passed and someone recognized the banner they carried, the ranks all turned as one and the thunder of salutes filled the air. They approached the gates to the fortress, the towering walls patrolled by more children, their expressions serious as they watched. One of the boys in their escort shouted a code, and a heartbeat later, the portcullis rose, a deep horn bellowing from within. Relaxing her grip, she looked upward as they passed into the long tunnel, seeing the murder holes in the ceiling and wondering if they were armed. Likely, she thought, for it seemed Lessendor conducted itself as though it were in the heart of enemy territory, not within the heart of the Empire. And she was about to see the inside. The gates at the far end of the tunnel swung open, and they rode back out into the sunlight. The buildings were all columns and elaborate porticos, everything carved in swooping patterns and scenes of battles throughout history. Fountains depicting famous commanders spewed water to either side of the group as they rode down the wide lane, which split at the end, circling around a gleaming gold fountain carved in the shape of Celandor's dragon. On the far side, a large domed building stood, crimson and gold banners flapping from poles that jutted out from the base of the dome itself. There were boy children everywhere, all seemingly engaged in various sorts of training overseen by either older boys or men with silvered hair. All of them stepped into neat lines as they passed, small fists hitting their chests in salute. "How many children are in training here?" she asked, wishing she wasn't the one to break the silence. The commandant turned to look at her, his gray horse frisking beneath him.
35,000 at present, and the 51st remains, and they have 5,197 legionnaires in their ranks.
An army larger than nearly any other, and that was just those in training. Stopping in front of a large building with towering columns holding up a wide portico, the commandant dismounted, handing his reins to one of his escort. Marcus let go of the reins and gently tugged her hand free from where it clutched his stomach, lowering her to the ground, then dismounting swiftly himself. They followed the commandant up the steps and into the shade of the building, six of the boys following suit. The interior was as fine as any senator's home, the tiles polished and the tables holding delicate glass vases filled with flowers. Marble busts depicting young men graced the alcoves, and when Tariana looked up, it was to find the ceilings painted with a battle scene, dead and dying littering a burned field with Celandor's banners rising above it all. The commandant led them up several flights of stairs, then down a hallway, pausing next to a door.
Tariana, you get washed up in here. A medic will be along shortly to see to the injury to your neck. And we'll also see if we can't find you some fresh garments.
I want two of you with her at all times.
Marcus's voice cut the air, the first thing he'd said since they left the 29th camp, and Tariana twitched at the tone of his voice.
Under no circumstances is she to be left alone. Understood? The other four of you will remain outside her door.
The young centurion frowned, clearly aware that Marcus was someone important, if not of his precise identity. But at the commandant's nod, the boy answered,
It will be done, sir.
Without saying another word, Marcus and the commandant strode down the hall to the next room and disappeared inside.
This way, miss,
the centurion said, swinging open the door, and she stepped inside. Judging from the furniture, which included a narrow bed, this was sleeping quarters of some sort, but it was devoid of any personal items, the linens tucked tight around the thin mattress. What's your name? She asked the boy.
It's Centurion Pullo, miss, he said. This here is Norin.
The other boy who had entered bobbed his head, his eyes skipping to her chest and then back to her face.
Miss.
Gods, but they were young. You can call me Tariana. An older servant woman entered carrying a jug of water, which she set on the table next to a basin, along with a cloth and a small piece of soap.
I can get you a dress, she said, if that will suit you, miss.
My own clothes are fine, thank you. The woman departed, and after she shut the door, Pullo blurted out.
Who's that man with the commandant?
The one ordering you about, you mean? She winked at him as much to diminish her own nerves as his. Not rightly sure if I'm supposed to tell you. Holding the silence and enjoying the way they clearly wanted to press her but were refraining, she said, That's Legatus Marcus of the 37th Legion. Both boys' jaws dropped.
You can't be serious,
Pullo finally said.
That's the 37th Legatus?
Why? She asked. You heard of him?
Have we heard of him?
Norin demanded, his voice cracking.
He's only the most famous.
Pullo gave him a shove.
She's teasing, you dunce.
Brow furrowing, he said.
The 37th's supposed to be conquering the Dark Shores. The Marin.
He broke off, giving his head a shake.
Thought I recognized your name. You're the girl who was supposed to show them the way.
Guilty. She could see that they were desperate to ask her more. But there was a knock at the door, and an older man entered, carrying a medical kit with him.
I hear you fell afoul of Hostess, he said, setting out his supplies and then gesturing at her to take a seat.
Aye, he's a right prick, that one. Pullo and Norin both smirked, but the medic gave her a steady look.
He is that, but he's also the consul's right hand, so best you keep your opinions to yourself.
Though it should come as no surprise that Cassius would keep a man like Hostess about to do his dirty work, Tariana's stomach still soured. For months, Cassius had been a distant threat, and while out of sight had not meant out of mind, now she was within easy reach, and the only thing standing between her and him was Marcus. And he no longer had the 37th here to back him. She sat still, clenching her teeth as the medic silently cleaned the cut on her neck, muttering that she was lucky she only needed a few stitches. He bandaged the wound, then departed, leaving Tariana to clean herself up as best she could with 2 13-year-old boys in the room. She'd only just finished when there was another knock. One of the boys, standing guard in the hallway, leaning in,
The Commandant has asked the Legatus to attend him in his office. You are to accompany him, miss.
Trying to curb her unease, Tariana stepped into the hallway. Marcus was waiting. And it was as if all the months they'd spent together had been erased, and he was once again the devil who'd watched her be tortured, who'd used everything and everyone she loved to force her to take him and his men across the world in search of conquest. They'd shorn his hair, and his cheeks were freshly shaven. He was once again dressed in the tunic and armor of a legionnaire, a crested helmet tucked under one arm and his weapons belted at his waist. The breastplate had a 37 stamped on it, looking as though it had come fresh from the forge, which she supposed it probably had. And as he turned away to stride down the corridor and his crimson cloak drifted out behind him, the golden dragon glaring at her, eyes malevolent. They stepped out into the sun, where a relative mob of young boys waited, all of them scrambling into straight lines at the sight of Marcus, fists pounding chests as he strode past. Nodding at them, he headed toward the center of the fortress city, where the largest building loomed, its wide copper dome having gone green with age, and with every rank of boys he passed, there was a thunder of salutes. Your fame precedes you, she said. But he only glanced down at her, saying nothing as the doors to the building swung open ahead, the boys guarding them standing straight. You were such a fool, she silently whispered to herself. Such a fool to believe he'd give all this up for you. Where the leather of her boots was silent against the marble floors of the building, Marcus's sandals clacked loudly, the echoes reverberating off high ceilings painted with scenes of legion conquest. Through another set of doors, and despite herself, Tariana gasped as it was revealed to be an enormous library. 4 stories high, the shelves were full of books and scrolls, the main level encircled by twin layers of shelves full to the brim with more volumes. At the center, there were 6 large wooden tables, next to which stood perhaps a dozen boys wearing only their tunics and weapons. Marcus nodded at them as they stood to attention, but carried on to the door at the far side of the room, only then pausing.
Wait here.
His blue-gray eyes flicked to Pullo.
Do not let her out of your sight.
Yes, sir,
the young centurion said. And Marcus disappeared into the room, shutting the door behind him.
Right,
she muttered, then turned to find all the boys staring at her.
Hello.
They all nodded their heads, eyes full of curiosity.
This is Tariana, Pullo said. She's the Marin girl that took the 37th and the 41st to the Dark Shores.
He frowned, then turned to look at her.
You did get them there, didn't you?
Pullo,
a boy at the center of the group said.
It's not your place to ask such questions.
Sorry, sir.
Stepping away from the door, lest she be tempted to eavesdrop, Tariana circled the room, staring up at the seemingly endless shelves. On the second level, the shelves were broken up at equal intervals with 9 enormous golden plaques. They each had a different symbol on top, and beneath the symbol were 10 smaller plaques with numbers engraved in them, the one at the top given more prominence than the rest. And on each of the 9, save one, a familiar number held that prominent spot. 37-1519. Marcus's legion number.
There, there,
she finally answered. They have control of a nation called Aranoquia. Then she pointed.
What are those?
The boy who had chastised Pullo cleared his throat.
There are 9 tests potential legates undertake prior to graduation. Those numbers belong to the highest scoring individuals over the past 142 years.
Tariana whistled between her teeth. No wonder you're all tripping over yourselves to make Marcus's acquaintance. Though she noticed, Titus's number was on a few of the boards as well.
You're very familiar with the 37th Legatus.
The boy tilted his head, the comment holding no criticism, only interest. Familiar was an understatement, but Tariana only shrugged.
You spend every waking minute with someone, and you get to know them as well as they can be known.
She smiled at him. And I'm not one of his underlings. Pointing at the one test where Marcus's number was ranked second rather than first, she said, That's one of you boys in the top spot, isn't it? He nodded.
It's you, isn't it, Legatus?
And when he nodded, she said,
Well done.
Especially well done, given his number was on more plaques than not.
Thank you.
Pausing in her circling, Tariana hopped up to sit on one of the tables. What's your name?
It's Ostornik.
He glanced at the closed door, then came a few steps closer.
Have there been many battles?
Too many. And from the looks of things, many more to come. There have, she answered gravely. And because the alternative was to cry, she asked, Would you like to hear the story of how Legatus Marcus of the still undefeated 37th Legion tore the tyrant Urkon from power?